was tag you tonight.
Get your shields and your spit stuff ready.
Glad y'all here tonight. I am. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I had we'll be in Romans 13 where I get sidetracked telling a story or something. But I'll be in Romans 13. Yesterday I had a man ask me for a job who had quit a job. And he said I had to quit because I'm a pastor and it's the right that time of the year. We know what happened last month before, whatever it was. Anyway, so I said, I understand you're a pastor and you got preaching to do and things to do. So he asked me for another job. And I said, I have a 3-day job. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I said, I know you want to be over here, but this is what I got. He said, okay, I'll take the job. Then he thought about it overnight and came back. He says, I can't work on Sunday. I said, you knew that when I gave you the job. I told you exactly what the job. And so I understand this man is trying to use, well, I'm a pastor, brother, and I got this, that, and then I said, brother, I'm a pastor, sort of, kind of, too. And that doesn't give me privilege to not work or to work or whatever. When you take a job, you do the job. If you're a preacher or a sir or any layman that's in the church, you take a job. It's your job to fulfill it. You've made a covenant with that man. I'd rather be in church. So when I listen to people offer me a job, I try to hear, do you need me on Sunday? I've had arguments with my boss about Sunday, but if I have to work, I will work because it's a job. I know other guys got jobs that work 24/7 or 7 days on, 7 days off. You got to work. And I'm glad that I'm not in the Old Testament thing where on the Sabbath day I can't do nothing. Of course, that had been Saturday. I couldn't work then, I guess. So anyways, I'm just trying to say that being a Christian is never a tool to be used as getting breaks, or should never be a tool used for breaks. In fact, if you're a Christian, you should be willing to go above and beyond what everybody else is doing. I had a good time at the detention center last night, and this is where I was in Romans 13. It said, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. And this works good in jail, because they're in jail. There is no power but of God. The power there, the powers that are, that be, are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? But that which is good, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God to revenge, to execute wrath upon him who doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it be briefly comprehended it in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law, and that knowing the time is now, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now this chapter works good in jail. It really does. But it should work good right here also. Because it says here, let every soul be subject to the higher power. In other words, let's understand that there is nothing above God. God does not answer to us. God, we don't make laws and have God come down to us. God makes laws to bring us up to Him. There is no power, no soul, let every soul be subject to the higher power. Now I realize that lawmen make laws. And sometimes they make some crazy ones, it seems like. In America, we at least have the ability to vote and put congressmen in, senators in. We can change laws if we like. But in Nebuchadnezzar's day, if you think back, whatever Nebuchadnezzar says you live, you live. And if Nebuchadnezzar says you die, you die. And his word was the last word in the law. Until he bumped heads with God, that was. So, and I think Nebuchadnezzar was used as sort of a form of the power of God as being sovereign over everything, just in a point now, but not spiritual wise, because we know Nebuchadnezzar had to face God and realize that God is over all men and all power and all things. But as a leaderhead, Nebuchadnezzar is used as the fact that God is totally sovereign. Whenever Nebuchadnezzar wants somebody alive, if he liked him, he liked him, and if he didn't like him, he killed him. God has the same power. God puts people in and takes people out just like he wants to. And he don't answer to none of us. He does just as he wants. For there is no power but of God. God is totally over everything. He's the one that puts it in the hearts of men to love each other. That's what our laws were set up on, Judeo-Christian principles. So the law was set up on basically on the Ten Commandments. Don't murder, don't kill, don't steal, those kind of things. And they were set up because God says civilians out there, weak people out there who maybe don't have guns and knives and swords or be able to protect themselves, have someone to help protect them. That's what our army is all about. I was asked last night, does a soldier commit murder when he goes out and does his job? I said, no. Because God sets up armies. The army gets sent out by the government who's been ordained by God. And if the man is in the right heart and not off sideways, if he has to kill somebody for the cause of the government, he did not commit murder. He took care of his business for the government. And people always want to bring up that, well, soldiers are murderers. No, they're not. Not if they're doing it for the right place, not the right reason. It says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, if I go against the policeman, if I go against the army, if I go against the government without cause or whatever, whoever resisteth the ordinances of God, and they resist shall receive to themselves damnation. In other words, it's not a very good idea to fight the law as it's set up. If it's a lawful law, now if it's a bad law, don't resist it. Go with it until you can get it changed, but do it legally. In one place, verse we just read here, not in rioting and drunkenness. The whole world out there right now is rioting. Everywhere we look, just last week, the ladies had ladies' marches everywhere. And I'm sitting there, man. How do you have a job and take care of your family and all that, and you marching all the time? I don't know how. And these other guys is always standing on the corners marching about. So I don't. I'm working and paying taxes so they can sit on the corner and be mad at me. Anyways, that's another story. For rulers are not a terror to good works, youngins. A policeman is not against you. You old folks too. That policeman is not your enemy. If you're not breaking any law, if you're not violating any law, if you're not trying to do something that's illegal, when the policeman walks up beside you, you don't have to run because you're afraid he's going to arrest you, because if you haven't violated a law or a rule or a regulation, he might just want to ask you how you're doing. You ain't got to run from him. I know that the people I deal with in jail are mostly black folks. And I'm not saying that ugly. But they are raised to believe that policemen are bad. I read this last night. You said, you mean the government and the policemen are supposed to be, we're supposed to listen to them? I said, that's what it says. It says when you don't listen to them, you're going against God. The government and the policemen don't come up just to chase you down the street because they like running fast. The government is out here to protect you. And what's the worst thing I could do if a policeman was walking up towards me and I took off running? What's the worst thing I could think? He's going to think I did something. And so he's going to chase me like a hound dog on a rabbit. Well, if you don't run from the police, if you treat that policeman with respect, with honor, you talk to him decently, 9,900% of the time, and 44/10 or whatever it is, he'll treat you just the same. He's not out here wanting to stir up trouble. He's got a living to make. He is set up there to help those who do good. It says here, for the person who's doing good works, he's not a terror to them. But to the evil. Now, if you're breaking the law, if you're robbing, stealing, pillaging, whatever you're supposed to, breaking people's windows out, he's coming after you. He's looking for you. Because that's what he's getting paid to do. He's not mad at you. He's just doing his job. He's paid to get the man that's breaking out my windows or stealing my car or whatever. And so if you did that and you run from him, he's going to keep chasing you till he gets you. That's what he's supposed to do. I hope he gets you. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? It says, rulers but of evil, wilt thou be afraid of the power? You don't. There's no need to be afraid of the government if you're doing right. Now, I know our government was set up in a way that we watch the government. But on the other hand, as long as the government's doing right, I should not be sitting in my house shivering and quaking, wondering if they're going to come take my stuff away. As long as I'm doing right. And they're doing right also. It says, be not afraid. But that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. In other words, if I'm doing all the right things, the government ought to be just tickled to death. I'm a good citizen. And the government ought to be tickled with me if I'm a good citizen. They ought to be saying, I like all them good citizens because I ain't got to send all my guys down there to try to arrest them because they're doing right. So a person who does good gets praise from the government. That's what it says. He is the minister of God for thee, that's all of us, for good. Whether he be the army, whether he be the congressman, whether he be the senator, his job is to do us good, and we're supposed to pray for him because that's what his job is. That's another chapter in another place, but we're supposed to pray for all these guys. It says here, for he's a minister of good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. In other words, if you just want to be a lawbreaker and violate the law and do things and try to push your luck, you better be looking over your shoulder because he's been paid to come find you. He's been paid to come hunt you down. It says, if you do evil, you need to be afraid because he beareth not the sword in vain. That's why policemen carry guns and nightsticks and stuff so they can protect themselves when they have to come get you. It says here, he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now I'm glad in our day he just catches us. And then we go before a judge, and the judge and our group of our peers judge us. But back then, when he might have actually done some damage to you. He might have said, you done this, that, and the other. He might have took his sword and beat you on the head or something and straightened you up. But here it says he's the venger of God to get you straightened out if you do evil. Wherefore, we must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience. I need to make sure I obey the law so I don't have to sit around and look over my shoulder wondering who's coming. Because if I am violating the law, you violate the law, we're violating it, we know that he is coming. He will eventually come. He's going to figure out the trail to get to us. It says he will be on the way to seek us, not only for worried about the wrath, but for our conscience. I don't want to go to sleep at night every night wondering if somebody's supposed to beat on my door and arrest me. Can you imagine being a dope smuggler or a jewel thief or something like that? Every single night when he lays his head down, he's got to wonder if somebody's going to bust the door down after a while and drag me out of here. Well, see, if I'm not doing that, I could go to sleep, I could lay my head on my pillow, and unless there's been a bad typo, nobody's going to come drag me out of bed. Says, wherefore you must needs be subject. Verse 6, for this cause pay we tribute. A lot of people in Christian circles say, nowhere are we supposed to pay taxes. Right there says we do. And of course, if you take the one where Peter went fishing, that says he did. But there's so a lot of people say, we don't pay taxes and stuff like that. We're free from taxes. Right here it says we pay tribute so we can have people that will get paid to take care of us while we're innocent, while we're living our lawful life, while we're doing a lawful thing. I ain't got to worry about bad guys walking up to me. There are some countries that you can go to, you can go down the street and not, especially children. There are some countries that gangs of children will tackle you, take all your stuff. What are you going to do with the 50 kids on top of you? You're going to kill two or three of them or whatever? But at least in America, right now, I don't know of any gangs like that that just run up and just hordes of kids just pile on top of you and take all your stuff and leave you. Now, this MS-13 bunch would like to do that maybe. I don't know. But right now in America, it's not like in some of the Mexican cities and stuff like that, Filipino cities where the kids have no mamas and daddies and they just are a law to their self. It says here, for we pay tribute, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon us on this very thing. In other words, we pay taxes so that we can keep a good police department. We pay taxes so we can have a good fire department. We pay taxes so we can have rule and order and civility in our cities. Not only do we pray for those things, but we're supposed to help cover those things. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute. Jesus even said that. Whose coin is this? Well, if that's Caesar's coin, give Caesar his money. God deserves tribute also. God deserves to be praised and honored here and anywhere else. We go because we're his children. But in his building specifically, he ought to be tributed, if that's a word. It says, custom to whom custom, and fear to whom fear. I take that fear all the way back to God again, because while he's a consuming fire, we mentioned that the other day, he's a hammer. He's the rock that you fall on or falls on you, can crush you. God is not to be trifled with. God is not to be thought lightly of. God has great power, great strength, great stuff. And of course, we've always said here, the beginning of wisdom or fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when it says fear here, it talks about a respectful fear, but also a trembling fear. If you're not saved, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you need to be shaking in your boots, because one day you're going to face the God that has all power to do with you as he pleases. It says, honor to whom honor. I think that goes back to God too. Now, I don't think we ought not honor folks in here, not to lift them up to the status of God, but if somebody does something worthy of being praised, not to give them the big head, mind you, but I hate to be praised. I tell you what, I do. I hate for anybody to come say, that was a good this or that was a good that, because that knocks all my hair off. It just pushes them right out because it goes all the way to the top of my head.
It starts
rising up. I almost hate it when somebody comes up, you did a good. On the other hand, being too humble could be fake too. So it's a hard place to be. I don't mind being honored, but I'm not going to get humble myself to where I pull myself down to the bottom either. It's a fine mix there. So honor to whom honor. And hopefully that person you're honoring don't take it and get carried away and think they're all puffed up. But now if you're honoring God, he can get as puffed as he needs to be. I don't think he gets puffed up. He just knows who he is. He just knows. It says here, owe no man. I was thinking about make sure you pay your debts there, but it actually says, owe no man anything, which means you'd have to pay your debt, but to love one another. That's the greatest debt that I owe everybody in this place or anywhere else, is I am to love you. That's my greatest debt, to owe no man anything but to love one another. It says here, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. In other words, and we fix getting into some deep stuff here. In fact, we're going to touch this next verse just to get there. It says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I brought this question up at the jail last night, looking at a bunch of young men. And of course, one of them didn't get it, but anyways. I says, young men, for this statement, every one of you guys are married. Just pretend like you're married. And you got a wife. I said, if I love you, would I come hit on your wife? One didn't get it. But the rest of them says, no. No. Because see, all these kids have already been messing around and doing things they ain't supposed to do. So I hit them with that. I said, if you're married, or if you have a girlfriend, and I love you, when you're not around, I'm not going to be at your house trying to make time with your wife if I love you. And if you love me, you're not going to be over at my house. Now, you might come by my house. Don't get me wrong. You can come to my house. But what I'm saying is, you're not going to come by my house for that purpose, to beat time off with my wife, hoping you might do something that you ought not be doing, girlfriends, anything else. So when I hit them with this, I hit them hard because I says, you guys have already messed up. You guys have already done things you ain't supposed to do. I says, I'm trying to tell you how to love somebody here. I said, if thou commit adultery, do you love me, or did you love that person if you did that? And the answer is always no. If I really loved you, if I really loved everybody here, I would never be doing anything of that nature. If I loved myself, I wouldn't do anything of that nature. Then it says, thou shalt not kill. And this is where the army and all come up with. I said, but if I love you, because we know what the news every morning, what we do? Five people kill each other in Baton Rouge. I said, if we loved each other, would those people be dead this in the morning? And once you're going like this, and the rest of them are going, no. They were getting it. It says, if I loved my neighbor, I wouldn't go kill my neighbor. And then I said, what about defending yourself? I said, if you love your neighbor, even if you're packing an iron, there's no reason to kill him just because he's there. Having an iron on you is not a license to kill folks. Defense is not loving your neighbor. Defense is protecting yourself. So we had to go through that big fight. But it says, thou shalt not kill. If I loved you, if you loved me, I could unlock my doors at night. I could. I could roll up my windows, let the fresh air in, let the sunshine blow, if I loved you and you loved me. Because you would be able to lay down at night and say, my neighbor Charlie's over there, and he's armed to the bears, but if I put out a peep that I need help, he's coming. And he could actually hear me holler because my windows are up and the air's flowing and it's good. And he could even get in to help me because the door's unlocked. And you could do the same for me if I love my neighbor like I ought to. It says here, thou shalt not. Then it says, thou shalt not steal. And I says, guys, if you love me and I loved you, you could park your Corvette right up there in your front yard, leave the keys in it, and it would sit right there till doomsday, till you gave somebody the keys or drove it off. If you loved your neighbor and your neighbor loved you, I wouldn't have to worry about nobody taking my old Jeep. If I had all neighbors that loved me, I could leave my Jeep parked anywhere that's safe, not in the middle of the highway, but I could go to any store, any mall, any place. If everybody loved their neighbor like they should, I could throw my gun on the seat, I could throw the keys on the dash, get out and shut the door, unroll the window, go in and buy groceries or whatever, and come back, and it would all still be right there if we loved each other like we're supposed to. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to have. Lookout love. In fact, you wouldn't even have to look out, because if we loved each other, why would you have to look out for my stuff? You could say, oh, that's Charlie's Jeep, look out, there's all the stuff. Good to go. Because we loved each other. It says here, thou shalt not bear false witness. And they got this one pretty good. I guess if you've been in jail a few times, you've heard about false witnessing. Of course, they want to blame the law and everybody else for the reason they have false witness. But the fact is, if I really, really loved you, I would never make up any kind of a story to save me by getting you in trouble. I would never make up any kind of story that's about saying how that guy is the one who robbed the bank, or that guy is the one who beat that guy up, or that guy, especially if I know it was me that did it, bearing false witness. Or even if I don't know it was me that did it, I'm not sure who did it, but I don't like that guy, and I don't like his hairdo, and that skinhead. He's bound to be the guy that was in the fight yesterday. False witness. That's what it is. Telling something about somebody that ain't true, and that you don't know ain't true. That's false witnessing. It says here, thou shalt not covet. Boy, if I love my neighbor, that covet. Paul said covet was a big thing for him. He had not known sin if it hadn't been for thou shalt not covet. Coveting is a very big deal. It's when you see somebody's got something and you want it so bad that even when you can't afford it, you'll go get one. And then you got to figure out how to pay for it, and you either end up losing it, or in court, or you, maybe if you can't do it that way, you'll go steal one. That takes you back to stealing. But coveting something is when you want something so bad that you'll do almost anything in the world to get it. And then I'm going to tell you what happens. Once you get it, you wonder what in the world you had to have it for. You do. I mean, I want something so bad I can taste it. I'm going to go get it. And then after I got it about 2 or 3 weeks, I said, what in the world did I go do? Especially when that truck note comes due for 7 or 8 years at $600 or $800. You said, wow! I ain't quite what I intended. I like the truck. I sure don't like the payment. And that's how folks do a lot of times. And then it says, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, and I like the way he does this three times, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor. The whole law, everything Jesus ever said, just when he talked to the rich young ruler, the whole law is on love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the second law is love thy neighbor as thyself. If I loved you like I love me. No, take that back. I loved you better than I love me. Because I'll hurt myself. I will. I'll do things to me that I wouldn't do to you. But if I loved you the way I want to be loved, then we wouldn't need no laws. There wouldn't be no don't adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't do that. It wouldn't have to be. Because the whole bunch of us would be in pure harmony, in pure love with each other. He says, even if we could just do the second law, the world would be like, whew, we would. If we could wake up every in the morning and everybody loved each other, you know, that's how we're going to be in heaven, you know. In heaven, all this anger management and 12-step programs and all that, that's going to be cured just like that. And I'm going to have a love that ain't going to have no covetousness to it. Ain't going to have no envy to it. Ain't going to have no strife to it. It's going to all be centered around pure love. Now, I don't understand that right now. I've got to say that. But there's coming a day when I'll be able to love you the way I ought to. Maybe you too. The way I ought to. It says, love worketh no ill. It's just amazing how easy we can hurt the ones we love. Say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, should have got roses instead of chocolate, who knows? I seen a smile there. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And that would be your wife also, and your neighbor. My wife is my closest neighbor. She really is. Your wife is your closest neighbor. I mean, they live so close to you, they know if you snore or not. Hello? I mean, they know about you. It says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. My very first priority then would be to love my closest neighbor right off the bat. And then to love all my other neighbors with as much sincerity as I could ever muster up. It says here, and that knowing the time is now, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And here's our challenge. I know we discussed it, and I know we're going to do it. May have to get ourselves back in the mood or whatever. We got the track rack. But track racks, with tracks in it, ain't the object. I'd like to see that thing get empty again. And the way for it to get empty is somebody's got to take something out of it and give it to somebody. So, knowing that our salvation is nearer than it ever was, and if I really love people the way Christ loved people, I need to share that gospel as much as possible. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'm going to go see your kids. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'm going to go up there to that trailer park up the road there and see some of those folks one of these days. I don't know how I'm going to... Trying to make a plan don't never work. It's just going to have to go do it. Just go do it. So, if you think that we're letting anybody slide, we're not. We're going to start getting some doing done. And that's like I kind of want to ask the new preacher man, not to quiz him to death on the first try, but I think we ought to listen to him and pray about it and listen to him pray about it. But I kind of want to hear, what kind of vision do you have? What kind of vision do I have? What kind of vision do we have? Yes?
I don't know if this encourages you or not, but he asked me what we're doing.
Well, we're going to start doing more. Okay, that encourages me.
Yeah.
It does. So, knowing that the time is now here and our salvation is closer than it ever was, we need to be about the Lord's business. The night is far spent. In other words, we way closer than we think we are. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Just like the day of salvation is, today's the day. The day for us to be doing what we need to be doing is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Those are the things that so easily pull us from doing what things we ought to be doing. And don't get me, everything we do ain't sinful, don't get me wrong. But we get so caught up in the do's and the don'ts of life that sometimes we just get so wore out we don't do anything. Somehow we have to, what did Daniel do? He purposed not to eat the king's stuff. Well, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, sooner or later we got to purpose to do something. I'm not trying to say let's get us a big old grand scheme and try to get something beyond what we can do, but we need the purpose to start doing something. And then as it grows, it grows. I didn't get to the jail by purpose and I'd be there for 7 years. I got to the jail by going one night. That's how you do it. One night, one day, one step. It says, casting off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We have to put on Jesus Christ. It's been gracefully talked to about us about the shield of salvation and the helmet and the shoes on our shoes of preparation and all those things, the sword of the Lord, the Word of God. We need to be all into that stuff, ready. And then it says, let us walk honestly. Like I told you about that preacher at the beginning of the thing, I know he probably has a good heart, but he's not walking honest. Because he's expecting freebies because he's a something when he ought to be working harder than anybody else out there. We need to walk honest. We need to let, what did Jesus say? Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Don't try to be wishy-washy or whatever. We need to walk honest. As the day, as in the day, not in rioting. And we see rioting on TV, on the news. Every time you turn around on your Facebook, you see pictures of people beating each other and man, we don't need to get caught up in all of that. And in drunkenness, we don't need to get caught up in all of that. And I'm not trying to preach a sermon on drinking, but I'm saying being drunk is not the way to be. It's not. And then it says, not in chambering. You can look that up if you want to. That's probably not a very good thing. And wantonness. Wantonness is, my wanter is way bigger than my neeter. And if you're like me, your wanters are a lot bigger than your neeters. There's stuff that I got at the house probably I'd never needed, and I've got closets full of it. Wow, what could we do for the cause of Christ if we only had half of the stuff we needed and had used the rest of that money for Bibles or for witnessing or for missionaries or who knows. But I like my stuff. I'm the first one to say I like my stuff. Shame on me. And then it says, not in strife. Not in strife. We need to be together. We all need to be together. And in envying. So don't show me no new toys, because then I'll get covetous and then I'll go get me one. Then no missionary's going to get groceries. So if you bought you some new fancy thing that shoots 50,000 bullets a second, don't show it to me. So that way I can at least keep giving the missions. Because we ought not be in envy and strife. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sounds easy as pie, right? That came out of my... Did you hear that roll off? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That ain't nowhere near as easy as that came out right there. It ain't. Every morning I get up, my flesh wears up. Every morning I get up, I either feel older or tireder or wonder what I'm doing. It is hard to go to work with a bunch of people who hate everything, curse God, curse everything about around the building, and have the Lord Jesus Christ shine through without getting angry or strife or envious or whatever. It is hard to act like Christ when everything around you is acting like Satan. That's the hardest thing we've got to do. It just rolls up. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So easy. It should be easy. But it's so easy for the world to start chipping away and get into your hide and get into your head, and all of a sudden you start acting just like they're acting before the end of the day is up. You get angry and mad and stuff like that. Well, maybe you don't, I do. I do, because I expect people to be better. Instead, they're acting just like they're supposed to act. You know what lost people are supposed to act like? Lost people. I expect everybody to act like a saved person. That's my problem. I expect them to act like they're saved. But they don't. And so when they don't act like they're saved, then I act like I'm not saved. Because they bring it out in me. That's just me. That's just me, Mike. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Man, we so need that when we feel the flesh rearing up, we need to get on our knees. Ask God to help us. If you're in a real bad bind, maybe call somebody. I can remember, like I said the other day when I was quitting smoking, God delivered me. I'm going to tell you how God delivered me. Every time I'd feel like I was about to die, to run outside and get one, and I'd say, God, help me. All of a sudden, the phone would ring. And I'd get tied up talking to a client or a worker or something for a few minutes. Then all of a sudden, something else would come up, or I'd have to run down the hall and talk to the boss or something like that. If you're really asking for God to give you a way out, in fact, the Corinthians says, God will give you a way of escape, but you got to take it. When you're trying to kick a habit or whatever, if you're really serious with God and you know you're about to fall, you can call somebody or call on God and say, God, I need you to do something. And it'll be amazing that the phone might ring or somebody might hit you with a text. And I saw some text this morning with scripture in it. That was amazing. I liked it. It's just amazing what might happen when your things are flying around. Be anxious for nothing and all those great things. Stand fast. Hold on. Don't quit. Just little encouraging words. It says, make no provision for the flesh. We're good at that, and I'm good at that. To fulfill the lust thereof. You know, if you leave that door open, you're leaving yourself, or you give yourself an opportunity to mess up. We do. Well, I'm not going to watch that show, but I'm going to keep it recorded on my TV. Well, if you keep it recorded, one day when you're at your lowest point or whatever, you're going to flick through the channel. Oh, let me try that one more time. But this time you'll be a little weaker than you were the time before. Same with every sin you do. You think about it. You think about it. Then you get closer to it. Closer to it. And the next thing you know, you... do it. So if we keep the provision away, we probably won't fulfill the lust thereof. But I'm so glad that we have a God who will forgive us if by chance we do. But on the other hand, He does give us power to resist. To resist. I don't think sometimes we always resist like we think we do. I know from experience there's a lot of things I didn't quite resist the way I needed to. I'm glad He forgave me of those things. But it's hard for me to be an example to somebody else when I fall so easily to things that I do. So, that's what I did at jail last night. So you should have been there. Because I had 14 boys that needed to find out that the government ain't against them. 14 boys that come to the understanding that when their jailer is telling them to stand up and do this, do that, and they're fighting against them, that when they fight against that jailer, they're actually fighting against God Himself. And then they said, well, what if the jailer does something bad to us? I said, well, the jailer has a law too. And if that jailer violates you, he will answer to God. He'll also answer to the boss. He'll also answer to the court system, because anybody's put over a bunch of children and they do something they ain't supposed to do to a kid and it gets found out, they are in deep trouble. Because in jailhouses, I don't know about anything else, a child predator don't get much of a break. Because even murderers and thieves and robbers can't stand somebody that would mess with a child. There's just something about you mess with a child, you get on somebody's bad side. So I says, now you better make sure. He says, well, they're always picking on me. I said, wait a minute, time out. Let's look at you. Get yourself in the mirror. When they asked me to do something first thing this morning, did I start fighting and arguing and complaining? No, I'm not going to do that. Don't tell me you don't want to do this. Well, yeah. I said, so they're not picking on you. You started the fight with them. I understand what you're trying to get me to point my finger at the guys who's over you, but the fact is, and I understand some of you on the wrong side of the bed in the morning, but the fact is, if he told you to get up and put your shoes on, and you just bully-grubbed around and complained and cussed and fussed and everything else, you wonder why he's mad at you. It ain't because he got up with a bad feeling. It's because you're doing the thing you ain't supposed to be doing. You're fighting against the powers that's over you. And that same thing happens to us. If I get up in the morning and resist my boss and fight with him and argue with him about how I'm going to get things done, I'm going to have a bad day. Could even get fired. Have been known to run my mouth so much to get fired. I was proud back then. I ain't so proud no more. Like my job. So anyways, you should have been at jail. Maybe not in jail, but at jail. But you see, that can happen at a schoolhouse. You can go to a teacher's thing. That right there, you could have taught that at school. You could teach that at the old folks' home. You could teach this, that lesson right there could be taught almost anywhere. And did we talk about a lot about being saved and being believers in Jesus Christ? Maybe not, but we aim them at the one who is in ultimate authority, because we need, even we want moral civility in America, even if everybody does not get saved. Now, I'd love everybody to get saved. I don't see that in the Bible, but I'd love to see everybody get saved. But if everybody's not going to be saved, I sure would like them to not be killing and robbing and stealing and all those things, including me. So, with that being said, let's sing one song and dismiss.
Page 193.